I want to welcome everyone to this memorial service for Jane Simoneau. I want to welcome family members and friends and fellow church members. Welcome one and all. As we get started, let me ask if you would please put your phone or your electronic devices on silent for the service out of respect. Let's hear these words of comfort from the gospel. Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" We come believing those words that the Lord Jesus spoke to Martha that day. We come holding fast to them in this time of grief. Let's hear God's call to worship from the book of Psalms. "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds." Would you please pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we look to you now in this time of sorrow. We pray, Lord, that as the scripture says, we might not grieve as those who have no hope, but rather help us to grieve, but as those who have the hope of the resurrection, who have the hope of Jesus Christ set before them. Lord, may we come before you now, even with the burden of sorrow. May we come before you also with joy, knowing that you have overcome death through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let's begin this service, which is a service of worship. Let's begin by standing together and singing hymn 457 in the hymnal, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." 457, please rise and let's sing together. Seated. And we look to the scriptures for our comfort today. where else can we find the words of eternal life but in the words inspired by the Holy Spirit of God? And we begin with a number of Old Testament readings, first from Job chapter 19. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. Also turn to the book of Psalms for words of comfort. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. As far the reading of God's word.
And has shed
Testament reading begins in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment.
We all compared notes to make sure we didn't say the same things, and everything we said was the same thing. So you just might have to hear it three times. I'm sorry. The first thing I wrote down when I was trying to figure out what to say about my mama believed in Jesus. You don't really need to say anymore. Mama was there in the presence of the Lord Thursday morning. Wow. As my Aunt Betty told me when I talked to her on the phone later, this is one of my father's sisters, she said, yeah, Bill and Jane are having a party in heaven. You know, you can't get any better than that. So that was the first thing. The second was Mama cared. She cared for family. She cared for us. She cared for our families. She cared for other people's families. She cared for the people in this church. She cared. If you ever crossed paths with Mama, she cared for you. Cheryl was telling me something that I should have known, but that when she first got married to Paul, that was Mama was right there and shared stuff with her. When we went to visit relatives, Mama would share stuff. I have habits that are in me today that Mama shared with me. And a lot of them, read your Bible every day, talk to Jesus every day, lift up other believers every day. Mama believed in missions. My children have been on missions trips. I went to Peru when I was younger, and my chaperone is here. The interesting thing, I went back to Peru about 10 years ago with my church for the same thing. Took my son with me so we could carry family things that have to do with eternal things on. She also cared for everybody that she didn't know. She prayed for people that she really didn't know who they were, but she knew they were influencers or people who needed God's influence in their life. My favorite story that I love to tell is about what happened when Mom and Dad came home one day and found an empty bottle of baby aspirin. And Paul and I looked at each other and said, he ate them. Jim had to go to the hospital. They pumped out his stomach. They found one aspirin. Of course, Paul and I had eaten them all. They were like candy. You remember those aspirin? About 6 or 7 years ago, we were having one of our various celebrations for a birthday for Mom or something, and I told this story to her, and she looked at me in total disbelief. What? She believed her children so much that she believed that unbelievable lie that we told, and I finally confessed it after all those years. It showed what kind of woman my mother was, and now she's beyond anything I can believe. I have yet to understand enough to know what glory is really going to be like. The scripture gives us little pictures. But now Mama's there experiencing it. I see through a glass darkly. But then I shall fully know as I have been fully known. And that's where Mama is now.
There are so many great stories to tell you about Mom. We don't have time to tell you all of them. I really appreciate David. One of the things I was going to say about Mom is I remember her prayer life. Not just, like you said, just praying for them, praying for specific things that people needed. And she would ask. She and Dad, when Dad was still living, had a prayer list, and they would talk out loud to each other, and then they'd read books out loud. Sometimes I would come and visit, even after I was married, and they'd be reading Dawson Trotman's book. It's called Dawes, and they'd read about how he was serving the Lord or some other books to each other. It just is incredible. And they kept it up. I actually have their prayer journals. Mom's got about 12 of them. I think Dad had about 20, but they were just glorious. And I haven't looked at every one of them, just looked at a few, but just so blessed by having that heritage. And their example has taught us to pray. We're not as good at it as we'd like to be, but continue to seek the Lord. And Mom and Dad would be very careful. They're sinners saved by grace, just like we are. They didn't do everything perfect. I could tell you times when we drove them nuts, but they somehow survived it. I don't know how they did. But we're very thankful for all the ways that they've served the Lord through the years. I just had written some notes to kind of give you some of the things about Mom. Mom's extra love for us. David mentioned one thing. There's so many stories. We punched holes in the walls. Dad helped us fix them. And I don't know how Mom put up with us destroying her house again and again. But we would do stuff like that. Mom didn't know a time when she didn't know the Lord. Now, when you asked her if she was a Christian, just like Dave said, she could tell you clearly. Probably in her 60s, she studied how to share her faith with others. There's a program called Evangelism Explosion, and she and Dad learned how to share their faith, wrote their testimony, and went out and shared their faith with other people very conscientiously. They also, as Dave said, and I know Joe's going to get into this a little bit, she took people in. You know, Andrew Brunson, maybe you've heard of him. He was in Turkey and just recently released. He was a missionary. His great-grandmother stayed at our house. So we have kind of a special connection with that family. Not close to Andrew necessarily, but just amazing how the Lord put that together. Mom sang in the choir. She was president of the Preswick for South Carolina, the Presbyterian women in South Carolina, years ago. This rich heritage. She went through a lot. I wish I could tell you some of the things that she suffered. Mom would say, well, you know, I haven't had any persecution or suffering at all. But look back at her life. She went through a lot. And there's things that people don't know and don't have time to go into all those. But God gave her grace to keep trusting Him through every moment of that. And I thank God for her. Like I said, apart from the family, there were so many others. And I'd love to tell you more, but I want to leave time for Joe also to share just a few memories about Mom.
That's amazing. Preacher gets done, and I still get to talk.
Well, if you don't want to.
No. You go back. Get back over there. One benefit that my wife reminded me of, and I've always been a numbers person, but my mom decided to have all her kids before she was 30. And I was born 30 days to the day before she turned 30. So I was meant to be here. They've already mentioned how active she was in this church. She was also active at Covenant years ago, Covenant Presbyterian Church. I don't know how many of you know, she and Dad both functioned as poll managers for years and years in the city. As I already mentioned the others, I'm trying to not duplicate stuff here. But she really did. She had a gift of hospitality. She took a lot of different people in, from this elderly lady that Jim spoke of, Ms. Molman, to young guys, they had an exchange professor from China with them. It was not unusual to see a new face in the house if you went by to visit. Some stayed for a while, just short times. Some stayed for longer times. And her house was just always open. And fortunately, I still lived there up until I got married. And I was the last one there, of course. So, and she really did, as mentioned before, she knew the power of prayer. She would pray continually. She would pray. I mean, even when she lived with us before her stroke, she lived with us for 15 years. Thank you. Got numbers going up over here. For 15 years, and it would not be unusual when I'm getting ready to leave for work. She'd be sitting at her table praying over her list. I've never seen these journals he's talking about, but I know she had a prayer list that she prayed daily for a lot of people. She also had prayer partners over the years after Dad was gone. And we just... she prayed for each of us, for each of us, for each of these grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, and the one great-great-grandchild that's not here, and the wives and families, and probably most of you in this room, maybe not everybody, but just about at one point in time. And it's just a rich heritage that we've had. And just know that the Lord is with her. She's with the Lord now and in a much better place and has lived a nice, long life. She was ready to go and ready to see Dad again, and that time has come. Thanks.
Scripture reading for the message today is just a few verses from Psalm 92, which is called a psalm for the Sabbath day, so an appropriate reading for this Lord's Day. And we read in verses 12 through 15 of Psalm 92. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. If you go to the town of Danvers, Massachusetts, you can see North America's oldest fruit-bearing tree, known as the Endicott pear tree, planted by John Endicott, the governor of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, around the year 1631 or 1632. The average pear tree, I learned, has a fruit-bearing life of around 25 years or so. After that point, their fruit production tapers off, and they are typically cut down. In the wild, they can bear fruit for a bit longer, but even so, with a generous estimate of, well, let's double it and say a 50-year lifespan, well, just compare that to the Endicott pear tree, still bearing fruit for close to 400 years. That's an exceptional tree, and the people of Danvers, Massachusetts, take some pride in that. The Endicott pear tree sounds kind of like the tree spoken of by the psalmist in Psalm 92, verse 14, which flourishes and still bears fruit in old age. It is ever full of sap and green. Most trees slow down their fruit production as they get older, but not these ones that the psalmist is talking about. Of course, the psalmist is not actually talking about fruit trees. He's talking about God's saints. He's talking about the righteous who flourish in the courts of their God. And when I got the news of Jane's passing this week, these verses were the ones that came immediately to my mind as I thought back on the several years that I've known her. She was one of God's saints who was planted in the house of the Lord, and she had flourished there. I would say, you've already heard some testimony, I think I know everyone who knew her would say, she was still bearing fruit in old age. She was ever full of sap and green. Yes, her body was aging, things were starting to slip and break down, but for the years that I've known her, her spirit, her faith, her testimony to the grace of God was still growing and still thriving. And apparently the psalmist knew people like Jane because that was the sort of person he was describing in Psalm 92. He knew saints who had flourished in the courts of God and whose faith remained strong and healthy. They were planted there in God's house, remaining fruitful even when old age came upon them. The psalmist knew people like that, knew people like Jane. The Puritan commentator Matthew Henry said that the trees of righteousness of Psalm 92 are planted not in common soil, but in paradise, in the house of the Lord. That's good soil, the soil of paradise. Anything planted there, that's going to be an exceptional tree. They are receiving exceptional spiritual nourishment, and that's why they continue to bear fruit. These are amazing trees. They bear fruit much longer than anyone would have expected. That's how the psalmist describes the righteous ones. Now we need to ask how it is that these people can be called righteous, because Scripture makes it clear that there is none righteous, no, not one, Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says. That's the Bible's assessment of humanity. We are fallen, we are sinners, we lack righteousness. Yet here in Psalm 92, the psalmist says that there are some righteous people out there somewhere. How do we make sense of that? We should notice in these verses of the psalm that the Lord is the one who's called upright. Verse 15 says that these saints bear fruit in old age in order to declare that the Lord is upright and that there is no unrighteousness in him. In other words, the Lord is the upright one. He is the righteous one in this psalm. But the good news is that the Lord shares his righteousness with those who believe in him. He declares those people righteous. That's what the Apostle Paul would say later in that passage in Romans chapter 3. After he says that there's none righteous, no, not one, he goes on to say that there is a righteousness apart from the law. That is, there's a righteousness apart from what it is that you do or what you fail to do. There's a righteousness that is not based on your less than perfect performance. Instead, Paul says in Romans chapter 3, there's a righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. He says that there's a righteousness that comes by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Those who have faith in Jesus Christ, who receive this gift, are considered righteous by God. These are the righteous ones who flourish like a palm tree. They grow like a cedar in Lebanon, and they still bear fruit in old age. Those who trust in Jesus Christ, the righteous one, they're not only like trees that flourish in old age, keep bearing fruit. These are trees that survive even when adversity hits them. The Endicott pear tree is still bearing fruit after 380 years or so. This despite the fact that it has been damaged by hurricanes and by storms multiple times. This despite the fact that in 1964, vandals cut off all of its branches and sawed off all but 6 feet of its trunk. Despite all that, the tree recovered, still bearing fruit today. The house next door to ours has had a peach tree that it sits just on the property line. It's really close to our property. It's not quite on it. It's really on the other house's property. And the owner of that house next door lives somewhere else, very rarely comes by. So my family grew accustomed to enjoying the fruit of that peach tree. But for some reason, a few years ago, the owner decided to cut it down pretty much to a stump. And we were greatly disappointed. The tree wasn't doing any harm. It was a blessing to us. Why cut it down? Amazingly, taking it down virtually to a stump did not kill that tree. It kept sprouting new growth. New branches emerged. This year it actually bore some fruit. Our sister Jane Simoneau, she kept on bearing fruit her whole life long, into old age and in the face of adversity, as all God's saints face. Do you think that the last enemy, death, has stopped her now? No, not at all. In fact, she's only starting to be more fruitful than ever. Hebrews 13, verse 15 says that we should continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. Jane is starting to produce that fruit more fully, more perfectly in glory than any of us ever have here on earth. Friends, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in Jesus Christ, receive His righteousness, and you too will be like that exceptional, extraordinary tree that the psalmist speaks about, bearing fruit in old age, ever full of sap and green, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. May the Lord give us such faith, and may He grant us His righteousness. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the comfort of Your Scriptures. We thank You that in them we hear the words of eternal life. Lord, we thank You for the grace that You shower upon us abundantly. We thank You that it's not our efforts, that it's not our attainments that get us into Your good graces. Lord, You simply love us because You love us, because Your heart is full of grace and mercy. Lord, we thank You for the testimony of Jane's life, a testimony to the good news, to the gospel. And Lord, may we believe it as firmly as she did. May we all know what it means to have true fellowship with You and Your Son, Jesus Christ, whom You've sent. We pray this in His name. Amen. We will close this service of worship by singing the hymn that's an insert in your order of worship, "I'll Go Where You Want Me to Go." Please rise and let's sing together, "I'll Go Where You Want Me to Go." in peace, to love and serve the Lord, receive his benediction. Now may the God of peace sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.